This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. To give you a future and hope. As I understand the Lord in the Word, I am the apple of his eye. He thought so much of me that I am more than just happenstance. He created me in his mind. Each one of you, he created you in his mind before you were ever formed in the womb. Not only did he create you and think you up, fearfully and wonderfully made and so unique, so highly unique. There's not another one like you. Somebody may look like you, but they're not you. And you're so uniquely awesome in and of yourself because you're God's creation. You need to think of yourself that way. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, he formed me. He formed me in the darkness, and oh, I came forth as light. What you need to understand is that he has a plan for you as well. He didn't just create you physically. He literally implanted his DNA and his destiny inside of you. That you could be not only what you're going to be here on the earth, but in the eternal future. The half has never yet been told. Oh, God has such plans. And we need to be aware of them. We need not to be distracted from what he has created us to be. Now, if you're born again, your life is not your own. You say, oh, I make my own decisions. If you do, you're mistaken, according to Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. To act know means to be in, it is to know, ginosko. It is to be intimate with him. In all your ways, know him, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And he wants to do that because he says he will hold no good thing to them who love him and walk uprightly before him. He is the one who's waiting for us to submit to him. How many of you understand that he loved us first? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He is the one who loved me first. The Bible says that you should love me as I have loved you. You should love others as I have loved you. Because he loves me, I can love others. The love of God is what drew us to him. The love of God is what drew us to the kingdom. The love of God is what keeps us in the kingdom. The love of God is nothing if not meeting Jesus personally. When I met him, I fell in love with him because he loved me in spite of who I was and who I wasn't. Somebody say amen. He loved me enough to take me as I was and began to instill in me the knowledge of what he implanted in me before I was ever born. And that is who I was to be in him. I have a different picture of me now than when I first came to know him because he's been teaching me morning by morning new mercies I see. I get more and more of my life as he intended it to be unfolded before me as I submit to him every day of my life. That is why we need to hear, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love him because he loved me. I love him because he loved me, so I need to return to that first love. Let's put Revelation up there now, PJ. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Now, as he's speaking to the church here in the Revelation, he's not angry at them. He is, and he's telling them many things that they do well. But he's saying, this is so huge and this is important. He says, you have not continued to be in passionate love with me like you were at first. Say Jesus. Say only Jesus. Say first Jesus. Always Jesus. My relationship is not with you. It's not with my wife. It's not with anybody first. It's with him first. And every loving relationship that I have in my life will flow from my relationship with him. And to the extent it does, I stay pure and whole and in love with the mate that God chose for me. To the extent one of us does not, that love is marred. How many of you understand that to be true? If you're not in love with him, everything else goes askew. Notice I didn't say he wasn't in love with you. He's always been and will always be in love with you. And so we need not be distracted from that first love. From that love flows everything that is good. How many believe God is good? I have been so wonderfully drawn into His presence and to know more of His word, to know more of the reality of His personality and His attentiveness and His ever-loving care for me. I never, ever, ever thought that I could get as far from Him as I did, doing the mundane and dealing with the tyranny of what's urgent, and then just being taken up with the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this life. I never thought that I could be so numb because of the everyday things that I would lose the freshness with Him. But I need to tell you that the church in the Revelation is me. I lost my firstness. I didn't quit loving Him, but He wasn't first. You understand? You can love a lot of people, but if you're married, I got to love her first. As far as people. You understand what I'm saying? There's a certain love for her that I reserve for none other. No others. It's her. Amen? And she's the same with me. This love is emulated from Him. My relationship, hear this, my relationship with her is dependent on my relationship with Him. If I'm not right with Him, I can't possibly be right with her. I didn't say I couldn't stay married. I didn't say I couldn't have a form of love, but it can't be all it was intended to be. Do you hear what I'm saying? So important. My relationship with Jesus must be foremost. Must be the prerequisite. Must be the thing. I wake up in the morning, I go to bed at night thinking of Him. It's exciting to me because I hear Him. I sense Him calling us back to Him. And that can only be good, because if I can't go the next phase and depth and height in Him, then I've quit growing and I can't grow any higher. Some of you want the promotion, but you're not willing to go through the process. He wants every good thing for us, and He wants us to be aware that we've abandoned the passionate love that you have for me at the beginning. The good news is, be aware that He passionately loves you as much as He ever did. And He's not one bit deterred in the administering and the showering of that love. But He can only do what you'll allow Him to do. Let's turn to Mark. Thank you, Amanda. In the chapter of the soils, in the book of Mark, and I believe it's Luke, it is also talking about the heart. What I want to center in on is a soil where a seed is planted and seeds sprout up. The parable of the soils is likened in this particular verse as not a non-Christian. It is a Christian. It is somebody, in fact, who has excellent soil. The soil, the analogy is, the soil is likened to the heart of man. It is literally ready for the seed. It is open to the seed of His word. The seed is His word. The word is His seed. Jesus is the word, and the word is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. Jesus is that seed that never dies. It never, ever fails to produce fruit in and of itself. But there are things that can choke it out to where it's not as passionate. It's not first like it used to be. Is everybody still following me? But when this love in this seed and this relationship with Jesus is allowed to flourish and to grow, and we're going to deal with the distractions and the other seeds that come in. Oh my God, thank you, Lord. There's such productivity. Oh, listen, he is all about giving. He's all about loving. He's all about sharing. He's all about providing. He's all about loving. He's all about producing in you a harvest, a harvest, a harvest, a greater harvest, more harvest, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. It's all about God giving. God's a giver. God never quits giving. God never gets tired of giving. God wants you to have more harvest than you've ever had before in your life. Now, if you don't believe that, how many of you understand that when you go into the presence of the Lord, he didn't say, no, that's all I'm going to give you. That's all you're allotted. He's a lover. Say, God's a lover. God never gets tired of relationship with you. God never says, oh, no, I'm only going to give you part of myself. As much as you want, you can have him. As much as you need him, you can have him. As much as you require of him, you can have him. All you got to do is seek him until you find him. He's a giver. He's a lover. He's unending. He is bottomless. He is absolutely, you cannot find the height and the depth of his love in terms of a ceiling or a floor. It just doesn't exist. His love is infinite. How many of you know love gives? Love never quits, never gets tired of giving. So, what are we dealing with then? Let's look at the word, Mark 4:18-19. Now, there are soils where the word, Jesus, the seed, was never received. Never. No, I don't want him. Hard ground. That's another soil. I'm not going to deal with all the soils. But that was somebody who didn't want Jesus. I'm dealing now in this scripture with people who want Jesus, are ready for Jesus, want, and their soil and their heart is prepared. But everybody say, beware. Now, these are the ones, seeds, sown among the thorns. They are the ones that who hear the word. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. These people's ears, spiritual ears, their soulish parts are open. And the cares of this world, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the seed of the word. And it then becomes unfruitful. Though you have a heart to receive. If you don't take care of the other seeds that are planted into your heart, it can choke out the seed that can bring everything that life has promised. Everything the word has promised is in the seed form. How many of you know that his promises are always yes and amen? He's always willing to give you whatever word he has promised you, whatever the seed promises. But there's a process to dealing with protecting the word, hedging the word about, and letting it be free to grow. If I'm married to her, I can love these people, but I can't love them above her. And if you become a thorn in our relationship, I have to weed you out. Hello? Are you getting this? And so the Lord is saying there are certain things that if you're going to produce 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, say God's a giver. If you don't believe that, just look what he's already given you in spite of what we have or haven't done right. Just his mercy shows us he's a giver. Amen? How many of you got some things you didn't deserve? Hey, hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. So she's first. What is the word that God is using here? Say cares. Say riches. Huh? Say pleasures. We're going to talk about cares, but let's go to the other two first. God is not against wealth. God is not against riches. God's not against pleasure. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Are you listening to me? It pleases God to prosper his servants, Psalm says. So what are we dealing with? Everybody say cares. But if I put wealth and the gaining of wealth, and if I put pleasure and the experiencing of pleasure above him, then that is choking out the seed of his love. His love is the key. Say relationship. Quit seeking promotion. Seek loving Him. Everything flows out of loving Him. He already loves you. If you love Him, it goes, oh yeah, I'm just waiting. Ooh, here it is. Are you listening to me? How many of you know when your kids truly come to you and they're loving you and they just want to be around you, what can they have? Anything that won't harm them. And some things that will. My grandchildren get way too much candy after they've told me, Papa, I love you. Papa, I love you. Can I have an ice cream? Papa, I love you. Oh, Papa. I'm a sucker. God gives you things that nobody could point to you and say you deserve. I say, what is it with this guy? What is it with this guy? No, it's who is with this guy. It's who loves this guy. So of course it's not fair. He's not smarter than you. He's not handsomer than you. He's just very, very in love with Jesus. And that's all it takes. Because, say it with me, Jesus is a lover. Say, He's a giver. Hallelujah. Everybody say, cares. God's not against anything that's good, but cares or something again. Hear me. Cares of this life. The word cares, it literally means, in the Greek, divided mind. A divided mind. And then, many seeds. A divided mind, or many seeds. The seed of God, but then there are other seeds. They're called thorns. What are thorns? They're the product of another seed. That's all thorns are. It's another seed. And the enemy will take the cares of this life. It can be bad things or good things. It can be worries about money. It can be concern about your children, which should be not fear, but you want them to do well. But if it turns him to worry, how many of you know that fear can move and crush out the love of Christ? Perfect love casts out all fear. It shows you no division there. It's love and not fear and love. There's no room for fear. Somebody say amen. So what do? I need to root out the seeds by the ever-living, loving word of God. That was the word of the Lord, the seed, the seed. An example of a seed that's from God. Say, I need a word. Say, I need a word. And there's no room for another word when you've got a word. There's no room for another word when you've got a word. Let me give an example. Peter. Jesus comes walking on the water. Everybody's frightened. And then they look and say, is that Jesus? And Peter says, Lord, and I love this, if it's you, bid me come. You know what he was asking for? Give me a word. It's not wrong to be concerned or wonder. It's wrong not to ask for a word. If you're hungry, if you're doubting, if you're concerned, if you're fearful, you go to the Word. Somebody say amen. You ask Jesus for a word. You ask Jesus for a word. Show me, Lord. Is this you? And he says, if it's you, bid me come. He says, come. 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 And what happens then? He gets up out of the boat. I give him credit for wanting to get out of the thing in the first place. Whether it's Jesus or the Father and the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, whoever it is out there. I don't know if I'd want to get out there. You know why he wanted to get out there? He had knowledge that if I can be with Jesus, everything's going to be all right. You know what that shows me? He knew who Jesus was. And he says, if I can just, oh, hallelujah. The little woman heard a word. She says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. You know why she was determined to press through the crowd, Tyler? She had a word. Somewhere she'd heard people had touched his clothes. And just by touching his clothes, just by touching him, she was made completely well. They were made completely well. She had a word. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, and I don't care what kind of crowd you're in, if you can touch Jesus based on a word from heaven, and I don't care how many people around you, he'll say, hey, somebody touch me. Who touched me? If it be you, bid me come. He gets out of the boat. I started to say truck. Get out of the boat. Huh? And he starts to move towards you. But what happens? He has a divided seed because he kept his eyes, say, Jesus, first Jesus, only Jesus, always Jesus, no other seed but Jesus, no other word but Jesus. He said, Lord, and he moved towards Jesus, and Jesus is moving towards him. But then he looks left or right, and he sees what? What does he see? The waves. You know what the waves are? It's the seed. It's a seed that's like unto a thorn. It's another word that says fear. Fear. Death. Destruction. I'm moving towards Jesus. And it's the enemy's job to bring another seed into the heart that it was good and was hungry for God. Are you hearing me? If you're hungry for God, do you think the devil's going to play dead? No, he's going to bring every kind of seed, and everybody say it, distraction. Huh? And he got his eyes on the wrong seed. He was divided in his focus. And when he did, he began to sink. The good news is he had enough sense to turn his eyes back on Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus! At the moment he did, Jesus says, fear not. He says, you may have little faith, but he says, you've got enough sense to reach for me. Huh? And he brought him together. And they went and got in the boat together. Because you see, Jesus has already said, I'm in the boat with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we started on a journey, and we are going to the other side. You know why? Because he's got a plan and a purpose for Peter's life. And when Peter got his eyes off of Jesus, in every instance, Jesus never changed the destiny that he had for Peter. The seed and the word that is his destiny never changed. Go tell my disciples, and especially Peter. You could be on the outside, but Jesus says, you're always on the inside of my heart. Hallelujah. Say, no more distractions. Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. The light of the body is the eye. What you allow into your eyes, what you allow into your ears, will light up your life or darken your life. If you have singleness of eye, you know what single eye means? It means number one eye. It means number one, or it means single voyage. We're into boats today. In this voyage, you can only have one voyage in your mind. Single voyage. If your eye is single, not plural. If your eye is on the prize, if your eye is on the goal, if your eye is on Jesus. If your eye is on everything he's planned for you, if you're in relationship with him and nothing is allowed to get in and to be a seed of distraction, then he says, light will flow through your body. And I believe there's scripture there to speak about divine healing and divine health as well. How many of you know, though, when you are single of eye, what does the scripture say? It says, it allows the eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. Say, singleness of eye allows his lights in. It allows his light in. It allows the light. Light dispels darkness. Light dispels darkness. Light dispels fear. Light dispels sickness. Light dispels poverty. Oh, somebody say amen. Light dispels blindness. The blind man sees darkly, but when Jesus becomes his eyes, he can see. One voyage. It implies that having an undivided mind or single eye allows the light of God's word, purpose, power, revelation, understanding to flow into one's heart and spirit. So, cares, riches, pleasures of life. God's not against you being concerned. He's against you being afraid. He's against you being concerned to the extent that you look to the concern more than you look to the one who is the answer to the concerns. In fact, if you've got your eyes on him, you don't need to be concerned about the concerns. Hello? How many of you have ever been in the presence of the glory of the Lord? You've been into the presence of the Lord where everything else, where there was nothing but you and Jesus. Let me see your hands. Were you afraid? You had problems, didn't you? But they didn't matter, did they? Because there's a sense of being in his presence that says, everything's going to be okay. How many of you want to live there? Hallelujah. Lift your hands and thank him right now. Oh, no more distractions. Singleness of eye, my Father. Singleness of eye, my Jesus. Hallelujah. Stress deadens my sensitivity to my Father's voice. And it also causes me to focus on what I can see in the natural rather than what is unseen, which is the dreams of my heart. What I have not seen and ear hath not heard, neither hath it yet entered into the heart of man. I've been talking about that for 3 weeks. God wants to reveal it to you. As your eye becomes single and your seed becomes single, and there's no divided seeds, no divided cares, no divided thoughts, no divided thoughts. You got two ways to think, towards God or towards anything else, anything else. Say, he's first. I'm passionate about what he thinks about me. I'm passionate about what he's planned for me. I'm passionate about what he's planned for me and her. I'm passionate about being like him. And when I'm like him, she loves me lots. Hello? When I'm not like him, she says, please go back to your prayer closet. My kids do that. Dad, you're not done. Go back. See you in a week. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you're with him, everything's going to be all right. And to the extent it's not all right with you and your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your choices, you're not in his presence if you've lost first love. You say, is it really that simple? Oh, it's not only simple. It's the only way. It's the only answer. Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the truth, and I'm the light. Oh, did you hear what I just said? He says, I'm the way to peace. I'm the only truth. I trump every fact that comes against you, and I'm light in the midst of darkness. If you're dark, you're miserable. You're frightened. If you're dark, you don't know where you're headed, and you have no confidence. But when you're light, it doesn't matter. Light dispels darkness. Light dispels all that mess. I don't have inferiority when I'm in him. Say, destiny. Destiny. His love, his relationship with him brings your authenticity to your awareness. You're already authentic. There's nobody like you. You're unique. This little guy right there, he is one of a kind. He is one of a kind. I've got grandkids coming out my ears, but every time I see him, I get happy. He's not happy right now, probably. Is he tired? He's beautiful even when he's tired. Unless it's 3 a.m. Anyway. You understand what I'm saying, though? He's unique. He's awesome. That's the way God thinks about us. I don't have a care when I'm in his presence and his word is in my heart. And it takes the preeminence in my heart. Are you listening? Take heed how you hear. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. That implies that we attain increase through hearing. 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 You know what I'm hearing? Faith comes by, and hearing by the. And when I speak his word and declare his word, there is power in his voice. His voice has creative power. When I hear his voice, you know what? His words in my mouth are as powerful as his words out of his mouth. And I've got to speak his word. It has creative power, and it has the ability and the anointing on it to destroy yokes and remove burdens. So I better be careful about what I hear if I'm going to be careful about anything. Are you hearing me? It says, therefore, take heed how you hear. Anything you hear, thank you, Father. I've got to put it through the scrutiny of His word. I got a word today right after church that could have brought great distress to me. But you know what? I put it through the filter of His word. And He says, no weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. Even when I'm moving in the spirit, as we were in the last service, things come and people say things. And I have to weigh it, not according to even their intent. Good people say dumb things sometimes. Hello? Have you ever had a few prophecies that you wondered about? Well, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. What I am saying, I'm taking it to the Word. I'm taking it to the Lord. And if there's fear there, it's not from Him. Somebody say amen. Say submit. Say submit. Every thought, every word, everything you hear, submit it through the filter of His Word and His love. His love never brings fear. Cast it out. So how do you get rid of the seed that will choke out the word and the destiny God has for you? You literally go to His word and you receive His love. If love's not there, it's not of Him. Say, God is love. God's love casts out all fear. So I'm not afraid. Say it, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything God has planned for me. And anything the devil has planned for me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But every tongue, every thought, every demonic intrusion into my life that comes against me in judgment, I will condemn. I will condemn. I will condemn. How come? Because that's my inheritance as a servant of the Lord. And well, what makes you important? His righteousness makes me important. My righteousness is from Him. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and your righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Man, that's a lot. You can live by that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We increase and attain increase. We increase and attain increase through how we hear. Hallelujah. I got to close with this. I still have many things to say to you. I still have many things to say to you. In John 16, Jesus is about ready to go and ascend into the heavens. And in verse 12, He says, I still have many things I need to say to you, but you cannot hear. You cannot bear to hear them now. God has so much to say to us. He's still wanting to speak to you and to me, but we're not ready to hear it yet. He can't put the weight of what He knows on a divided mind. What eye hath not seen, what ear hath not heard, neither hath it yet entered into the heart. The things that God has prepared for those who love Him. That's not a heavenly scene. That's an earthly scene. Because He says, I will give you these things as you come into my presence through my Holy Spirit. I will tell you things you know not of. I'll tell you things you haven't even thought of yet. I'll tell you what you're going to be that you haven't even thought you could be. Somebody say amen. And let me just share this with you. Go ahead and play, hon. Let me just share this with you. Do you know that God can take your life when you're in His presence and you're hearing His word, and He can take the giftings that you've got, and it won't even match the giftings you were born with? God can take what you're most least adept at and cause it to be your major rather than your minor. You say, well, I could never speak for God. Do you know, many, many, many of the greatest evangelists, pastors, and speakers of the last 150 years stuttered, and their greatest fear was, I cannot speak in public. Do you know what God did? He said, I'm going to take my more uncomely members and I'm going to make them more comely through my spirit. I will breathe on you the breath of life, the goodness of God. Oh, I sense the Holy Ghost. The anointing that covers you with oil. When you're in unity with me, blessings flow. Blessings you couldn't earn, blessings, gifts you don't have. Hallelujah. Anybody heard of Michael Koulianos? You see your hand. Yeah. Look at that. Two people, three people, four people. Let's get together and have a small group. You never heard of Michael Koulianos? She knows what that means. He's Benny Hinn's son-in-law. Anybody know Benny Hinn? Michael's the second generation of Benny Hinn. He's like his dad. He's like his father-in-law. You know, he's only he's better. Benny will tell you that. If you don't like Benny Hinn, I'm sorry. He's the son of God, and he's just moving differently than you like. But that don't mean, you know, where were you when God created the world? One of the things I think we do most often is judge other people's ministries. When God says, I didn't create you to judge them, I created you to appreciate what godly things come out of their lives. And if they make a mistake, you point a finger at them. Remember, there's three fingers pointing back at you. That he is without guilt, cast the first stone. Doesn't mean they're going to get away with anything. How many of you know God corrects and prunes? I got a whole message right up there right now on John 15. I am not going to get to it. Michael Koulianos had an A in public speaking at the University of Florida. He went in the last day, and in order to pass the class, in order to get an A in the class, you had to do a speech in front of however big the class was, 100, 200, 300 sometimes students in those classes. He says, I took one look at it. I walked in. I was prepared. I have my speech. He says, I walked in, and they were getting close to my name. I turned around. I walked out, and I took an F, and I got a C in the course. He says, because I would rather flunk a class in college than to get up and speak in public. And now he goes all over the world and speaks almost every day of his life. Don't you limit God in terms of what you think your giftings are. Because as you come into his presence, he'll tell you things that your eyes haven't seen, your ears haven't heard. It hasn't even entered in. It's unfathomable. The depths of your heart, it says, unfathomable depths. Like the ocean depths. They're unfathomable. You know, they measure the depth of the ocean in fathoms, do they not? Unfathomable things you can't think of. God's already prepared them for you. It's just important that you don't have divided thoughts. You have good soil, but you got to guard your heart. How do you guard him? How do you guard it? With the word. With his presence. With his fellowship. He'll never lead you wrong. He always leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Say it with me. It's not too late. It's not too late for 30, 60, and 100 fold. No more distraction. I still have many things to say to you. He wants to pass it on to us. Things that, say it with me, the things that God has prepared. Where are they? They're in the spirit realm. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he transfers what's up there into your life. Every time he speaks only representing what he's heard the Father and the Son say. And every time he speaks to you, his words, they are spirit and they are life. He gives you what God has prepared for you. You just need to spend time in fellowship with him. And he will transfer those things that are awesome into your account. It's the reason we spend time with Jesus. Because he's got so much to tell you. I'm hungry for more. I'm so hungry for more. In the midst of the mundane, in the midst of the tyranny of the urgent, in the midst of things that have to take place, I'm more hungry than I've ever been in my life to say those things may look important, but nothing's more important than me being with Jesus. Because he can tell me things that make all those things seem simple. Lord, we love you. I love your presence. I love your word. You're my answer. You're my hope. You're my future. You're my destiny. You're my provider. You're my protector. You're my defender. Holy, holy. Didn't say things wouldn't come against you, but no weapon formed against you will ever prosper.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.